I'll again express my thanks for the invitation to speak before you. We'll be looking at something that is, I suppose, somewhat close to my heart in the way of a phrase, especially or particularly a phrase from a song that also has a basis in Scripture, one of the spiritual songs that we sing, A Wonderful Savior. Within that song, we have the phrase or the clause, I suppose, that says, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. You'll turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33 reveals there is a conversation between Moses and God before the people are to enter into the land of promise. Now you recall from Numbers chapter 20 that Moses was not to enter that land. He was penalized, if you will, for not sanctifying God in the eyes of the people, is what Moses and Aaron were charged with. But particularly here in Exodus chapter 33, we can read about how that God spake to Moses face to face. Verse 11, He turned again to the camp, and his servant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses said to the Lord, verse 12, See, thou sayest to me, Bring up this people, thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way, thy way, that I may know thee, and I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse 15, And he said unto him, Thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. It's an interesting passage in the book of Exodus here, chapter 33. It talks about what God would do with and for Moses, and what God says he would do for his people, and how that he would provide for them certain gestures or acknowledgments of his presence, that he would be with them, and what Moses was asking for here. God could not fully comply, but he did what he could. As wonderful as Moses was in many respects as a leader, as wonderful as he was in the person of a mediator, in the person of a, well, he was of the priestly tribe, but he wasn't himself much exercised in that capacity. He did go to God for the people in some respects, and he was indeed someone that prayed much for his people, but as favorable as we could look upon Moses, there was one that would come after him. Jesus would come into the world many generations later, and Jesus would be the superlative in all things, prophet, priest, and king. He would be the superlative in the way of a leader and a high priest, and he would be a superlative in the way of a sacrifice, and he would be a superlative in every respect. And Moses did so much, and there's so much recorded for us. But it's so that we might appreciate Jesus all the more. In Mark chapter 9, we touched on this morning, the transfiguration where Jesus took the three up into the mount and there was transfigured before them. And there he communed with Moses and Elijah. And I think Kevin even touched on this last week, but he talked about the whiteness or the brightness in the transfiguration was brighter than any whiteness upon the earth. A wonderful Savior we have in that he is brilliant, and that he is the superlative. A wonderful Savior we have in that he is above and beyond anything that Moses could be or could offer. A wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. He is a closer relationship. You can read John 17 and see about the close relationship he has with the Father and the great benevolence he has toward his disciples. That prayer discloses to us the innermost thoughts and the struggle that Jesus had as a human deity in the flesh. And then the transfiguration, as he communed with Moses and Elijah, and that scene was played its way through, and then things came to a close. They were overshadowed with a bright cloud, and God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Meaning that he should be obeyed in all things. "Hear ye him" conveys just that very thing that Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18. "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth." "Hear ye him," a voice from heaven to signify that he is the Savior that can make a way, just as it was proclaimed at the time that he would be brought into the world in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. His name, Jesus, means Savior, for he would save his people from their sins. A wonderful Savior is Jesus. He is such a Redeemer. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'll turn over there with me, we'll look at a few elements of this passage. Details that Peter points out. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at first at verses 18 and 19, and then a few more verses later on in the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And we sang songs tonight about Jesus as our Redeemer. We'll have other songs later about His role and His function, what He does in bearing burdens and so forth. And we'll get to that in just a moment also. But if we pay attention to the things that we say in song, as certainly would be appropriate to bring up in this lesson, we could reflect on what the Scripture says. The spiritual truths are certainly there to bear out the ideas in the songs. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says that, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We have a wonderful Savior that gave Himself, that gave His precious blood. It could be pointed out that all blood is precious, especially to the one losing the blood, but all blood is precious, but this blood was the most precious as there was no sin upon the record of Jesus Christ Himself. He lived a sinless life. He was able to provide a perfect sacrifice, and in doing so, offered up that propitiation. It was a propitiation for God's wrath. You look just a few verses later, look at verse 22. It says, "Ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Seeing you've done this," he says, "see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." That's based on our redemption. That's based on the sacrifice and the very element that was provided that we might have redemption, that we might be redeemed. And I'm talking about the blood because this is the very thing that Paul talks about with the elders from Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. When he says that the church has been purchased, he says it was purchased with the blood of Christ. The redemption, the purchasing with the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We think of Acts chapter 8, where the eunuch reads from Isaiah 53. We think about what is being discussed there, and we'll get to this in just a moment also, but the activity, the work that was done by our Redeemer, by our Savior, the things that we could not do for ourselves in the role and the scheme of redemption, God provided all things necessary that we might be saved, that we could not do for ourselves. And in Acts chapter 8, as Philip discuss this with the eunuch, the things that were being discussed were of, indeed, some other man, not himself, as Isaiah was being quoted. It was Christ. Philip preached to him Christ. So in the third point, our wonderful Savior is that He takes our burdens away. We have a wonderful Savior and that He is brilliant and superlative. We have a wonderful Savior and that He is such a Redeemer. And He takes our burdens away. He is able to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. Isaiah 53. He is the one that is able to, as we sing in the song, hide us in the cleft of the rock, just as God did with Moses. Just as it was also spoken of in another song that we talked about, Psalm 78 this morning, another passage, that he provided many things for the Israelites in the wilderness, but one of the great things he provided was water, of course. And he did it more than one occasion. And so we sing in that song that the wonderful Savior hides us in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure we see. We have things above and beyond the physical that the Israelites had, as I pointed out this morning. But our wonderful Savior takes our burdens away. He is able to carry our griefs, carry our sorrows, able to bear our griefs. He is able to bear the iniquity of us all. And He covers us, so we need not be concerned with things that do so burden and so worry other people. You look to Matthew chapter 6 and you read of Jesus' instructions in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6 is relevant as we think about how that our burdens and our cares should be light in this life if we're following after God and we have faith in Him and trust in Him. In Matthew chapter 6, we are to take no thought, verse 31, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We've been looking at Peter. How does Peter put it in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7? We cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. A lesson this morning, we looked at how God does care for mankind, cared for all the world. He cares for us as individuals, and He wants us to recognize that and be faithful unto Him. Recognize that care and care for Him in return. That is to say, love Him in return. A wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. He does so much for us. We can read about the many things He does in the New Testament. We can even surmise some of the things He has done for us from the Old Testament. But certainly we should recognize that He plays a role in our salvation more than anyone else does. A greater role. He has come and done what no one else could do, as the Hebrews writer points out. He has come and done what no one else was willing to do, for that matter, as Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 8 point out. And speaking of Romans chapter 8, let's turn over there real quick, and we have a great passage of comfort here to tell us about the role of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, let's read the last part of the chapter here. We'll begin back at verse 31. If God be for us, this is the middle of the verse, who can be against us? Says He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh also intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We could understand Him to say then, it is summed up in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is to say, His love for us is summed up in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is there that we could see it most clearly. It's there we can observe it being demonstrated and acted upon most fully. We have a wonderful Savior that does above and beyond. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have such a one that would bring our case before the Father, Jesus Christ. We do have a wonderful Savior. It's up to us to tell the world about our wonderful Savior. It's up to us to disclose to them what the Bible says, how He reveals Himself, especially in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's up to us to tell them of what His instructions through His apostles were. The book of Acts. How that He tells everyone they need to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. It's up to us to tell them how that we are to repent of our sins. We should not continue in those things. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It's up to us to tell people about confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, just as was demonstrated in Matthew chapter 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter said to him on that occasion. And in Acts chapter 8 with the eunuch, he made that same confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, they went both down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And the eunuch was able to go on his way rejoicing. And we have the same emotion expressed in the song, a wonderful Savior, the rejoicing because we have such a wonderful Savior. He didn't come short in anything. He didn't fail in any respect. The church, the cross, was not a stopgap measure of any sort. This was God's plan as He had set it in motion from Genesis chapter 3 and from before the world even began. God knew and He would give a wonderful Savior. You have a need to make your life right. Won't you let it be known while together we stand and sing.